Hello. We're in the season of Advent, in the run-up to Christmas. Two great themes in Advent. It's all about the coming, the first coming of our Lord at Christmas time, and the second time, the final last trump, when Christ returns in glory. Now, we have in Chipstead the wonderful means of bringing both these ideas together in the Advent or Midwinter Horn. You'll hear it in a moment's time, but the Midwinter Horn was played in very ancient times, pre-Christian times, in the Twente district of the Netherlands, over by the German border. And it was played at the winter solstice, and the idea behind it was that if you played this fearsome horn over a well, the evil spirits who lurk in wells in that area would stay down the well during the winter solstice, would not come out, and the days will get longer again because the sun was not frightened away by these evil spirits. And, you know, it worked every year. However, when the Christians came, they said, we can't have this nonsense of evil spirits in wells. So, because no one likes to lose a paying job, the Midwinter Horn player said, well, in that case, we will play it at Advent as an Advent horn to welcome our Saviour and throughout the period of Advent. So that, my friends, is why we in Chipstead we have the Midwinter or Advent horn. And now you'll hear it played over a well with a remarkable effect.
So this is over a lovely old Victorian cistern at the back of Elmore. And it's a great sound.
Good morning and very happy Christmas to you all. Lovely to be able to do this service for you, and my name is John Wace. I'm the curate here, and it's my great privilege to do this communion service. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us. And write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. And the collect for the new sovereign, Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Charles, our king and governor, that he, knowing whose minister he is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all his subjects, duly considering whose authority he hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey him in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. And the collect for Christmas Day. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has given us thy only begotten Son to take our nature upon him, and as at this time, to be born of a pure virgin. Grant that we, being regenerate and made thy children by adoption and grace, may daily be renewed by the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the same Spirit, now and for ever. Amen. And now we have our readings. That will be followed by the Creed and the Sermon.
The first reading is from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 67. John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace." Thanks be to God.
The reading today is from John. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us unto Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Good morning and a very happy Christmas to you all. Now, I've had to prepare this sermon some time in advance, so I've no idea whether the cold weather and the rolling strikes have made it hard to enjoy this Christmas. Perhaps this has moved us away, though, from focusing on the fripperies of Christmas and helped us to look at the eternal message, Emmanuel, God with us. I hope that many of you will already be familiar with the impact our trip to Oberammergau had on Carol and me. But it seems to me to be a good example of the presence of God with us now. It's a story of how we went to the Passion Play in Oberammergau. The whole production lasts about 4 hours, and there's a dinner break in the middle. We were having dinner in our hotel near to the Festival Playhouse when we received the very surprising message, Jesus is in the kitchen. Well, you see, the actors in Oberammergau all know each other very well, and it turns out that the man who was playing Caiaphas was the owner of our hotel, and Jesus was obviously a friend of his who popped in during the interval to have dinner with his pal. But Jesus is in the kitchen seemed to me to be a perfect example of the incarnation and God with us. I love the Christmas story as it is an illustration of the lengths to which God will go to bring Jesus into our lives. In the Christmas service in the church today, we try to show the unexpected side of this Christmas story. How did it come about that the Messiah was to be born to a family that lived in a remote town in an obscure part of the Roman Empire? Why didn't he choose a palace in one of the great centres of the world, like Athens or Babylon, or be born as a prince, like the Buddha was? Well, God's cunning plan started with finding Abraham, a man who could be faithful to his calling. Abraham would be the father of the people of Israel. God went on to give them the law through Moses and call them into the land of Israel. And when the people of Israel failed to live up to his promises, that he longed to be in a personal relationship with them, he sent his prophets to them. But still, they wouldn't understand and accept his love. He had made a covenant with them, and they found it hard to keep up with their side of the covenant. So it ultimately remained for God to be born as a man, to make clear the way to salvation and to demonstrate his self-sacrificing love on the cross. That is the big picture. But how do we end up in the stable behind a pub in Bethlehem? God had always had the people of Israel in mind, and as St. Paul showed, if you wanted to get a message out across the world, Israel, small country about the size of Wales, was as good a place as any to start. A child born into the direct family line of David fulfilled ancient prophecies. Bethlehem was a village associated with David. There was, however, the awkward problem that the family chosen, Joseph and Mary, actually lived about 100 miles from Bethlehem. So, God's cunning plan involved getting the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus, to call for a census. This required everybody to go back to their place of birth. So that means we've got everything in place for the extraordinary Christmas events that we find in the Gospels, a scene much loved by great painters down the ages. There was great excitement recently when the National Gallery announced that they had restored the Nativity by Piero della Francesca. Well, I popped into the National Gallery to see this wonder. What struck me, and I should have spotted this much earlier in so many Nativity scenes, is that so often the baby, Jesus, is born in a beautifully identifiable Italian landscape. Not in some mythical stable, but right there in the countryside, familiar to the artist. God with us. And sometimes the patron who commissioned the painting is there kneeling with Joseph and the animals. I rather pooh-poohed that idea. I thought it was self-aggrandizement. But now I think about it, it is absolutely right. They could see the Christ child coming into their lives. Emmanuel, God with us. I love all the trappings of the Christmas story, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men. But you can leave them out of the picture and just concentrate on your relationship with the Christ child, as Mark and John did. God loves you. He was born and knew a life that was filled with experiences of pain and rejection but a part of our human condition, and to show that there is nothing that can come between him and his love for us, nothing, he died on the cross. He is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. And it is that, regardless of the weather and the strikes, that means that we can this year still have a very happy Christmas. God bless you all.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal Church with the spirit of truth, unity and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and especially thy servant Charles, that under him we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto his whole council, and to all that are put in authority under him, that they may truly and impartially minister justice, the punishment of wickedness and vice, and the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and duly administer thy holy sacraments to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to all who hear this prayer, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we must humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We just take a moment to bring before God all those whom we especially commend this Christmas time. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make a humble confession to Almighty God, meekly kneeling upon your knees. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we, from time to time, most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him. Have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ says to all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. All glory and honour be yours, always and everywhere, mighty Creator, ever-living God. We give you thanks and praise for your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who, for love of our fallen race, humbled himself, was born of the Virgin Mary by the power of your Spirit, and lived as one of us. In this mystery of the Word made flesh, you've caused his light to shine in our hearts, to give knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In him we see our God made visible, and so are caught up in the love of the God we cannot see. Therefore, with angels and of heaven, we lift our voices to proclaim the glory of your name and sing your joyful praise, hymn of praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We say together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and in institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he brake it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of this. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it, in remembrance of me. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take in ye this remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on them in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take this remembrance of Christ out for thee and be thankful. Amen.
Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Christ, who by his incarnation gathered into one things earthly and heavenly, fill you with peace and goodwill, and make you partakers of the divine nature. And so may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.